All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Mark chapter 13. Just remind you a little bit of what we talked about last week. Remember, it was a hard day for Jesus from the standpoint of everything that they talked to, everything that the different groups of people came to him about. He talked about, remember, he talked about the one that owned the vineyard and running it out to husbandmen, and how they treated his servants and his son as they came to collect their due, so to speak. And then he talked to the Pharisees about, you know, had to deal with the question, is it right to pay taxes? And how he outwitted them and said, well, let me see a coin. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God's the things that are God's. And then the Sadducees came and talked about, the seven brothers that all had the same wife. Whose wife was she going to be in the resurrection? And he had to teach them that in heaven there's going to be no marriage. We'll know each other, but no marriage. And then he talked about the fact that there was a resurrection that the Sadducees didn't believe in. And then the end of the day, like we talked about last week, on a sweet note with the widow coming in and casting the two mites into the offering plate, and how Jesus noticed and said she's given more than all the other people that have come. And so we leave those events and move to chapter 13, which is a chapter that deals not with Jesus interacting with the Sadducees or the Pharisees, but him interacting with his disciples and talking about some things that were going to happen in their generation, and then some things that had to do with his one of his next comings. And to really put it in perspective, I want to go back to you don't need to turn to it, keep your Bibles open to the book of Mark, but I want to go back to Matthew chapter 23. And again, the events that we talked about last week were recorded in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is ending up his conversation with the Sadducees about the resurrection, and then reflecting back on the conversation they had with the Pharisees, he says something that Matthew records that Mark doesn't. And again, don't think, well, did Mark leave something out? No, we have the four different gospels to get a different perspective of Jesus, and you got to put it all together, to get the complete picture. But he says this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 38, and again, talking to these religious leaders, he says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Now again, what, think back on what just transpired that day. They were testing him. He was talking to Jewish people. They did not understand or accept who he was. And so he was saying, look, I maybe not this far, but here's how I'd put it in my language. Okay, I'm giving up on you. I'm going to leave your house unto you, and it's going to be desolate. What he was saying is, this was close. He was days away from the crucifixion, and he says, we're not going to argue anymore. I'm basically giving up to you. I'm going to leave your house desolate. And then he says in verse 39, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." He says, you're not going to see me anymore in the same situation that you see me. Now, they're going to deliver him to be tried. They're going to deliver him to be crucified. But no more debate. No more argument. No more reasoning. He said, you're not going to see me again until that day when I come again and the world says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, Mark chapter 13. Again, all of his disciples were Jews. And even though they saw him in a different light and were in different stages of receiving him as the Christ, they still had some feelings for the Jews. And when Jesus made this statement to the Jews, basically, hey, I'm giving up on you, I'm going to leave this house desolate, it's sort of like being in a situation where maybe two people are having an argument about something, and one walks away, and you know you're that third party there, and you're sort of uncomfortable, and there's a strange silence that follows, and you just want to say something to change the subject. You know what I'm talking about? You've been in situations like that, and so in chapter 13, that's what the disciples start out with. They say, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples, which was probably Peter, because remember, Mark is probably writing from Peter's account of what went out. And this is something like Peter would do. You know, Peter doesn't like silences. Yeah, as you think about his life and what he did, he don't like things to be quiet. If nobody else is going to say something, he's going to say something even if it's wrong. I mean, he's going to put his foot in his mouth, or you know, he doesn't like the quiet. So one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. He said, look around at the temple. Boy, isn't this great? And again, it was the Jewish temple. It was the center of the Jewish religion. So he was trying to, you know, just sort of make conversation after this silence that resulted from him, Jesus telling the Jews, well, hey, I'm just sort of writing you off. I'm, you know, I'm leaving you desolate. And the temple was still under construction when Jesus was talking. But it was going to be a magnificent building. I mean, there were stones in this temple that were 20 feet wide, 40 foot long, that weighed 100 tons. I mean, it was going to be covered with gold plates. I mean, it was going to be a magnificent temple, and even in the construction phase that it was, it was going to take about another 30 some years to complete. And even in the phase where it was a magnificent architectural thing. And so I think Peter, one of the disciples, said, you know, to break this pause, this silence, he said, man, isn't this great? Isn't this temple great? Isn't this building magnificent? And in verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So Peter again, boy, isn't this great? And Jesus said, let me tell you, this place is going to be torn down. There won't be one stone left upon another. And so they left the temple, they went out, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. So these two sets of brothers, probably the first four disciples that he called, three of the ones in the inner circle, and Andrew, they came to him by themselves and said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Now, asking him a two-part question. When's the temple going to be torn down? And when are the Jews going to see you next, when all men shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord? Tell us when these things are going to happen. Verse 5, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now again, Jesus is going to answer the question, and we'll get to that in the rest of the chapter. But he says, hey, I want to warn you. There's going to be things that happen between now and what I'm going to talk to you about. I don't want you to be deceived. He says there's going to be many people that will come in my name saying, I'm Christ. I'm the Christ returning. And they're going to deceive many. And we know from history that many people did come. In fact, part of the the Roman problem with the Jews going forward from this time is that there were many people that did come and claim to be Christ and raised up a following. And as a result of raising up that following, they got very nationalistic and say, hey, the Messiah's here. Why should we bow to Roman rule? And they created dissent. They created an uproar. And remember last week I told you the Romans got upset about two things. If you created a public disturbance, if you didn't pay your taxes. And so the people that came proclaiming themselves to be Christ raised up this nationalistic feeling, and they created public uproars, and they didn't pay their taxes. And the Romans didn't like either one. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled. Between this time and 40 years later, when the Romans were going to come and destroy Jerusalem, there were four different emperors that threatened to come and make war on Jerusalem. Four different ones. And Jesus says, hey, you're going to hear rumors of wars. Don't be deceived. Because that's not the sign that all these things are about to happen. He says, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquake in divers places. And by the way, between this time and 40 years later, when the temple was going to be destroyed, there were four big four big earthquakes in this part of the world, one of them in Israel. And Jesus was saying, that's not going to be the sign. There shall be famines and trouble. Great are the beginning of sorrows, but take heed to yourself. All these things are going to happen. Don't be deceived. That's not the sign to be looking for. Those things are going to happen. Oh, and by the way, there's a message in us tonight from what Jesus is saying, because there's all sorts of people. I can't remember who was talking to me. Somebody here was talking to me the other day about, Bill, July when? Oh, 2012. Yeah, 2012. Yeah, 2012. The year 2012, the world's going to be over. And so people are setting dates, that Jesus is going to come back and the world's going to be over. And when we get into the second part about when he's going to come, Jesus is going to remind us, nobody knows. In fact, he's going to say, nobody but the Father knows. The angels don't. He's going to say, I don't even know. And so we've had people down through the ages. Oh, Jesus is coming back. And you've heard the stories. We're going to sell everything we have. We're going to buy white robes. We're going to go up to the mountaintop, and we're going to be the highest up, and we're going to be the first ones to go. Jesus said, there's going to be people that come, and they're going to try to tell you that they know. But nothing's changed since he spoke to the disciples on this day. No man knows. So when you get somebody trying to tell you and set a date that the world is going to end, don't be deceived by it. And then he says to his disciples, but take heed to yourselves. Now you guys be careful, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And just think about Peter and James going to the councils and being beaten. Think about Paul going in before councils and kings and being beaten. In verse 10, here's one of the signs to look for. He says, and the gospel must first be preached among all nations. He says, before I come back and the world proclaims, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the gospel must be preached in all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Neither ye premeditate, but so whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now, I one time knew a preacher that he used this verse and said, well, I don't need to prepare my sermons for Sunday because when I get up before the people, the Holy Ghost will tell me what to say. And I told him, I said, I think you're taking that verse out of context. And I heard him preach a couple times and he wasn't very good. I'll just be honest with you. And I can only imagine. I mean, you that have been around long enough, there's only been one time in my years of preaching here where I felt the Lord changed my sermon when I was sitting up there on the platform and I preached without notes. And that, it was okay, but I felt I was following the Lord. Most of the time, I have notes. I have an outline. I prayed and studied and meditated and so this verse is not for preachers. This verse is for people like Peter and James and Paul and others that were without any notice were arrested and hauled before councils and had to give a defense of the gospel. And Jesus said, don't worry about what to say. When you stand before kings, I'll tell you what to say. And you go back and you read in the book of Acts and you read about what Peter and James and Paul said when they stood before kings. They were smart guys. At least Paul was trained. But you remember what they said about Peter and James? Boy, these guys must have been with Jesus and it must be the Holy Ghost because they're ignorant. They couldn't come up with this stuff on their own. Verse 12. And here's what's going to happen. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Not saved from a salvation standpoint as far as forgiveness of sin, but saved until the end. Set aside for God, used of God. But when ye shall see, okay, now here's the sign. Here's the sign of the destruction of the temple, which, by the way, was going to take place in 70 AD, again, about 4 years after this was spoken. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand it. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is in the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight be not in the winter, but in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Except that the Lord has shortened those days, no flesh shall be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. All right, so what's the abomination that's spoken of in the book of Daniel? It's when the Roman army comes, surrounds Jerusalem before they destroy it, go into the temple and offer sacrifices to false gods on the temple. All of that was going to take place in the disciples' generation. It was going to happen 40 years later. And Jesus said to the people, when you see the army coming down and surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and you're in the housetop, don't go down. They had an actual road that was built on housetops that got them out of the city. And he said, don't go down and get stuff out of the house. If you're on the housetop, just take that rooftop road and get out of the city. If you're out in the field and you've laid a garment by because you're hot, don't stop and pick it up. Run to the mountains. He said, pray that you're not pregnant. Pray that you're not with child. Pray that you don't have a young child, because that'll slow you down from running. Pray that it's not in winter, because the weather will be bad. It'll slow you down from getting out of the city. And you go back and you read history, and when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and tore down the city in 70 AD, it was a brutal slaughter of people that stayed in the city and that were left in the city. And if you didn't escape, basically you were tortured and killed. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave this house desolate, and it's going to be destroyed. And it was in this generation. All right, so let's quickly go on to the second part of the question. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now, I believe Jesus is coming back twice more. I believe he's coming back first time in that event that's not named this in the Bible, but that we know as the rapture. When he comes that time, the world's not going to see him in his power. He's going to come, he's going to blow a trumpet, have an angel blow a trumpet. He's going to call all people that are saved out of this world to meet him up in heaven. I believe that's going to happen before the tribulation. Then the tribulation that Jesus talks about is going to happen. The stars will be dark. There'll be all sorts of things that happen in that time of tribulation. Then Jesus is going to come back the second time. That's the time that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the time that the world will confess, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's the answer to the second part of the question. And so the disciples asked the question, when's all that going to happen? Tell us the date. Give us the day. Give us the year. When is that going to happen? And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you one thing that's got to happen before that happens. The gospel's got to be preached everywhere. And today, literally, it is. With the internet, with television, with radio, every country in the world is hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, now learn a parable, verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh. Okay, when the tribulation and all these things that he talked about, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Talking about the temple being torn down. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour, again, when he comes back, and the world says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. You might say, well, but Jesus is God. Why would God the Father know something that Jesus the Son doesn't? And again, I would remind you, he was God, but he was also man. He said, when he came as a man, I'm teaching those things that my Father has taught me. I'm revealing those things to you that my Father has revealed to me. God the Father did not choose to reveal to his Son the day of his second coming. And again, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I don't know. I can't tell you. The angels in heaven can't tell you. And neither can any man. So he says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. He says, it's just like a landowner going away on a trip and leaving his servants in charge and saying, I'll be back, I don't know when. I'm giving you each of your jobs, so be busy doing those jobs and keep doing them because you don't know when I'm coming back. As I was studying the temple guard, those guards that guarded the temple, they had a captain. And the captain would make rounds at night. And if he found one of the temple guards sleeping when he was supposed to be guarding the temple, he could either beat him or set his clothes on fire. I mean, that was the punishment for falling asleep when you were supposed to be guarding the temple. And the point was, you did not want to fall asleep when you were on guard duty, because you'd either be beaten within an inch of your life or they'd set your clothes on fire. And so what Jesus was saying, he says it in verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I told you before about the pastor that married my mom and dad, the pastor that I surrendered to preach under. He got up. This is by his own testimony. He says, I get up every morning. I go to a window that looks toward the east. And I say the same thing that John said in the book of Revelation. I say, Lord, if today's the day you're coming, come quickly. Come quickly. And he said that put him in the mindset and reminded him that today could be the day that the Lord comes back. Jesus said, maybe early in the morning when the cock crows, maybe mid-morning, maybe at noontime, maybe at night, maybe at midnight. And again, no man knows. None of us know. So what Jesus said, well, always be watchful. Because it could be any second. It could be any day. It could be any time. And we as Christians today ought to take heed to the message that he gave his disciples. We ought to watch. Where would you like to be when Jesus comes back? I sure wouldn't want to be in a place that I wouldn't want him to catch me at. I sure wouldn't want to be doing something that would be displeasing to him. I mean, I'd like to be preaching when he came back, or sitting in a Sunday school class, or doing something that would be very pleasing to him when he comes back. And I think we as a people have lost the reality of the fact that he can come back at any time. We take it for granted. We just don't have the mindset, hey, he could come before we leave this place. And I'm talking about the rapture. I mean, we could all go up together from the church house. But we ought to live our lives knowing it could be any moment, any second, any minute. And if we could get that, and by the way, the disciples thought he was coming back in their lifetime. Paul, on several occasions, says, he said, or those that left of us that are alive shall be, that verse in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, or we which are alive, Paul writes, or we which are alive, will be caught up together with those that, you know, the dead that rise. And Paul thought, well, he's going to come when I'm still alive. And we just need to get back into our mind and into our way of thinking, Jesus could come at any time. Now, again, don't go out and sell everything you have and give it all away because he's coming tomorrow. Not saying that. I don't know when he's coming. Could be tomorrow. But we ought to be living our life day to day in a way that's pleasing to him. So when he comes back, we don't have anything to apologize about. Anybody have a question?